This article is brought to you by the best-selling Booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorn. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to talk to a high-performing employee whose behaviour is harming team morale. A direct, step-by-step guide for the conversation you keep putting off. In short, a high performer whose behaviour is damaging team morale is a leadership problem, not just a people problem. Protecting them because of their results is a choice, and the team notices it every single day. Separate what they produce from how they treat people. Both matter. Prepare a specific, behaviour-focused script before you sit down with them. Follow through after the conversation, or the conversation meant nothing. Definition: a high-performing employee conversation about behaviour is a structured, private discussion in which a manager directly addresses a top employee's conduct toward colleagues. It holds interpersonal behaviour to the same standard as output and aims to produce a clear, agreed-upon change. Somebody on your team is delivering results that nobody else can match, and they know it. They push people out of the way, take credit, dismiss ideas in meetings, or simply carry an energy that makes everyone else tense. You have watched morale slip. You have heard things in one-on-ones you were not supposed to hear. And still you have not said anything, because the thought of losing this person, or having them shut down or go cold, feels worse than the slow damage they are causing. I have seen this play out dozens of times. The high-performing employee conversation is one of the most avoided discussions in any workplace, and the avoidance always costs more than the confrontation would have. The rest of your team is watching. They are drawing conclusions about what you value, and what you are willing to protect them from. This guide gives you a working process for that conversation: what to say, how to prepare, and how to follow through so the talk actually changes something. Why this conversation feels almost impossible to start. The difficulty is not about communication skill. Most managers who avoid this conversation are perfectly capable of having hard discussions. The difficulty is structural. When someone is your best producer, their output creates a kind of psychological protection around them. You weigh the discomfort of the conversation against the risk of disrupting their performance, and inaction feels like the safer calculation. It really is. The damage to team morale compounds quietly, and by the time you act, several good people may already be planning their exit. There is also the question of fairness from the other direction. The high performer often believes, sometimes correctly, that their results entitle them to a degree of latitude. Challenging that belief requires you to be clear about what you actually value, and to hold that line even when they push back. If you have been putting this off, you are not weak. You are human. But the team you lead deserves a manager who will act. Before you sit down, what must be in place? You cannot walk into this conversation without preparation and expect it to land well. Three things must be ready before you open your mouth. Specific examples. You need concrete, observed behaviours, not impressions. You dominate meetings is an impression. In last Tuesday's project review, you interrupted three people before they finished their point, and afterwards two team members told me they had stopped preparing for those meetings as a specific example. Gather at least two or three incidents with dates, settings, and observed impact. A clear picture of the impact. Know what the behaviour is costing the team: reduced participation, people avoiding collaboration with this person, others working around them rather than with them. This is the part that makes the conversation non-negotiable. It is not about personality. It is about measurable harm to the team's ability to function. Your opening line. Prepare the first two sentences, word for word. Unscripted openings under pressure tend to drift into hedging, over-explaining, or softening that confuses the message. Write it out. Practice it aloud. If you want more on how to structure an opening for a difficult discussion, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy gives you a solid framework for that first moment. The six steps of the conversation itself. Step 1. Open with affirmation, then name the purpose. Start by stating clearly that you value them, and that this conversation is happening because of that, not in spite of it. Then name the purpose immediately. Do not bury it. I want to talk with you about something that is affecting the team. I'm having this conversation because you matter to this organization, and what I'm about to raise matters too. This is not flattery used to soften a blow. It is an honest framing that signals you are not here to attack them, and you are not going to retreat from what follows. Step 2. Name the behavior with precision. State the specific behavior you have observed. Use the examples you prepared. Keep your language descriptive, not evaluative. You are describing what happened, not passing judgment on their character. In the last three team meetings, I have noticed that where a colleague raises an idea you disagree with, you interrupt before they finish and redirect the conversation. Last Thursday, that happened 4 times in 40 minutes. Resist the urge to cushion this with "I might be wrong" or "maybe I misread it." You are not asking for their verdict on whether it happened. You are describing what you observed. Step 3. Describe the impact on the team. This is where many managers stop short, and it is where the conversation gains its weight. Move from the behaviour to its effect on the people around them. The impact I am seeing is that 2 team members have told me, separately, that they have stopped preparing ideas for these meetings. They do not feel it is worth raising things. That is a direct loss for the team, and it is a direct loss for projects you depend on those people to contribute to. When you connect their behaviour to concrete team outcomes, you move the conversation away from personality and toward shared professional stakes. This is harder to dismiss. For a structured approach to naming behavior and its impact together, the SBI method is worth knowing before you go in. Step 4. Invite the response and listen without retreating. Ask them what they see. Then be quiet, genuinely quiet. "I want to hear your perspective on this. What is your read on how these interactions land for other people?" They may push back. They may be genuinely surprised. They may agree immediately. Whatever they say, listen to it fully before you respond. How unmet needs often sit underneath this kind of conflict is worth understanding before this conversation, because sometimes a high performer's behavior is connected to something they feel is not being addressed. What you cannot do is let their pushback cause you to walk back the substance of what you said. If they argue the examples were misread, acknowledge their view, and then hold the line. "I hear that you did not intend it that way. The impact on the team is what I'm responsible for addressing, regardless of intent." Step 5. State what needs to change, specifically. Vague requests produce vague change. Name the specific behavioral adjustment you need to see. "What I need from you going forward is this." When a colleague is speaking in a meeting, let them finish before you respond. If you disagree, say so after they are done. If you have concerns about a project direction, bring them to me directly before the meeting rather than redirecting mid-discussion. Do not offer a menu of options at this stage. Be direct. You can invite their input on how they will make the change, but the change itself is not up for negotiation. Step 6. Agree on a follow-up point. End the conversation with a specific next step, not a vague "let's see how it goes." "I want to check in with you in 2 weeks, specifically on how the last few team meetings felt from your side. I will be watching for the changes we talked about, and I want to hear from you as well." This closes the loop and signals that the conversation was not a one-off release of pressure. It was the beginning of a real expectation. When the conversation happens remotely, remote settings add a layer of complexity to an already difficult exchange. You lose the physical cues that help you read how someone is receiving what you're saying. Do this conversation by video, never by email or message. Turn on your own camera and ask them to turn on theirs. Arrange a private time with no shared office background noise. Tell them in advance that you want 30 minutes to discuss something important, but do not send the content in advance. That gives them time to build defenses before they have heard you out. Slow your delivery down deliberately. On video, rapid speech reads as aggression in a way it does not always in person. Pause after your key points and give them longer time to respond than feels natural, because the lag and the medium make silence harder to sit with on both sides. If the remote environment is also one where conflict during shared sessions has been an issue, managing conflict during meetings covers how to structure those moments so they do not spiral before you can address them privately. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where managers go wrong in this conversation. Decades of watching people attempt this, and getting it wrong myself, have shown me 3 patterns that recur. A mistake: sandwiching the feedback between so much praise that the behavioural issue gets lost. Why it happens: managers want to soften the blow and preserve the relationship. What to do instead? Affirm the person's value briefly at the start, then move directly to the behavior. The relationship is better served by clarity than by confusion. The mistake: retreating when the high performer pushes back hard. Why it happens? The confidence, and the fear of losing them, makes backing down feel like the path of least resistance. What to do instead? Acknowledge their view, then restate the impact and the expectation. Practice this before the meeting. I hear you. The behaviour still needs to change. 6 words. Say them plainly. The mistake. Never following up, so the conversation becomes a single uncomfortable event that everyone quietly agrees to forget. Why it happens. The meeting felt like enough. It was not. What to do instead? Honour the follow-up date you set. Name what has changed. Name what has not. If there is no improvement, that is the start of a different, more consequential conversation. For structured approaches to resolving ongoing conflict between colleagues when this person's behaviour involves a specific colleague, the deal method for colleagues you refuse to cooperate and the deal method for conflicts fracturing team synergy both give you a clear process for what comes after the initial conversation. If the issue involves disagreement about whether the feedback itself is fair, resolving feedback disagreements using the deal method is worth reading before your follow-up meeting. Your pre-conversation checklist. Use this before you sit down with them. Every item should be a yes. Number 1. I have at least 2 specific behavioural examples with dates and settings. Number 2. I can name the concrete impact on the team, not just a general impression. Number 3. I have written out and practiced my opening 2 sentences. Number 4. I know exactly what behavioural change I'm asking for. Number 5. I have a private setting arranged, with no time pressure on either end. Number 6. I have scheduled, or am prepared to schedule, a specific follow-up date. Number 7. I'm prepared to hold my position if they push back, without escalating or retreating. If any of those is a no, take another day to prepare. The conversation is too important to enter underprepared. The conversation you owe your team. Here is the truth of it. When you protect a high performer's behavior because of their results, you're telling the rest of your team something. You are telling them that results matter more than how people treat each other. Some of them will adjust to that. Others, often the ones you most need to keep, will leave. The high-performing employee conversation is not a threat to your best person. Done well, it is an act of respect toward them, the belief that they are capable of more than they are currently showing. It is also a signal to everyone watching that you lead the whole team, not just the most productive member of it. Prepare thoroughly. Speak directly. Listen fully. Follow through without fail. That is the process. The courage to start, it is yours to find. Frequently asked questions. What is a high-performing employee conversation about behavior? A high-performing employee conversation about behavior is a direct, private discussion in which a manager addresses how a top employee acts toward colleagues, even when the results are strong. It separates performance output from interpersonal conduct and holds both to an equal standard of accountability. How do you start a difficult conversation with a high performer without losing them? Start by affirming their value clearly, then name the specific behavior and its impact on the team without softening or hedging. Prepare your opening line in advance, choose a private setting, and come ready to listen as well as speak. The conversation earns trust when it is direct and fair. Why is it so hard to give feedback to your best employee? Because their results feel like leverage. You worry about demotivating them, losing them, or being seen as unfair. Their output creates a psychological buffer that makes managers hesitant to name behavioural problems, and that hesitance allows the damage to compound long before anything is said. What should you say when a high performer dismisses feedback about their behaviour? Name what you're observing in the moment. Say something like, "I notice you're pushing back on this, and I want to understand your perspective." Then hold the boundary the behaviour still needs to change regardless of intent. Give them space to respond, but do not retreat from the core message. How do you follow up after a difficult conversation with a top employee? Schedule a specific check-in within 2 to 3 weeks, name 1 or 2 concrete behaviours to watch for, and acknowledge improvement when you see it. Following up signals that the conversation was real, not just a single uncomfortable moment that everyone hoped would dissolve on its own. Can a difficult conversation with a high performer improve team morale? Yes, and often dramatically. When the team sees that results do not shield someone from accountability, trust in leadership rises. The rest of the team has usually been watching and waiting to see whether you would act. When you do, and when you handle it well, morale frequently recovers quickly. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use, whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.